Anyhow, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the parking lot of free speech because a lot of people can come here. You can have a barbecue if you want. It can be like a tailgate, do the barbecue thing. Maybe watch some hand egg afterwards. Who knows? All sorts of things can happen. But you've got to make a contribution, because without the contribution, nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage, and then go to republicbroadcasting.org. No, you already did that. Go to nationalbugle.com, download the CoCertified app so you can see if your pork ribs are kosher certified or not. Odds are they aren't, but you never know, because the pork relish may be. In fact, Heinz pork relish is kosher certified. Cato, did you know that Heinz has kosher certified pork relish? Who's that for?
Heinz. Oh, the ketchup company in Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Oh. Well, yeah, gee, I wonder who.
Yeah, who's that for? What's that all about?
Yeah, I don't really like Heinz to begin with.
So, yeah, John Kerry married into the Heinz family. There had been a John Heinz who was a senator from Pennsylvania, and his airplane crashed. And then John Kerry swooped in and married his widow and got himself a fortune. So there you go. Anyway, speaking of pork relish and dead senators, Pakistan, what's going on there?
Well, on Tuesday, right after the day after our show, there was a terrorist attack that took place in Pakistan at one of the Chinese-sponsored universities. There were four people that were killed, including three Chinese professors.
So who's behind it?
Well, there's this terrorist group they're basically separatists in Pakistan, known as the, Baluchistan People's Republic or something, is, by the way, supported by the usual suspects, the United States government supports the separatist group known as the Baluchistan Republic. And they're basically a region in South Pakistan that wants to break free from Pakistan. That region is a whole mess. The people there are not good people. They don't know how to govern themselves, and the United States is supporting them, not for their own benefit, but so that way they can derail China's One Belt and Road Initiative, and part of the China-Pakistan corridor ends in Baluchistan, or goes through Baluchistan. Mm. That's why the United States is trying to destabilize that region. So, I mean, just as I suspected, the United States was behind this terrorist attack in Pakistan. Maybe not directly behind, but indirectly.
The United States has always been involved in all sorts of stuff. Pakistan... Pakistan was created out of, British Imperial India, colonial India. There was a partition, and the Muslim areas became Pakistan. The primarily Hindu areas became India. And originally Pakistan, it was divided between East Pakistan and West Pakistan. East Pakistan, in the 1970s, became independent as Bangladesh. West Pakistan is now just known as Pakistan, but there are a variety of ethnic groups in Pakistan. The main language is Urdu, which is basically the same as Hindi, it just written in Arabic scripts. I guess it's kind of a dialect of Hindi written in Arabic script. But there's certainly other languages, and there is a Baluchi language, which is, it's probably has about a third of the people in the country speak Baluchi. It's a related. It's not that different. I'm not sure if it's closer to Iranian languages or closer to Indian languages like Urdu. I have the feeling it's closer to Indian languages. But at any rate, there has been independence movement there for decades. But yeah, but it's not that strong. So you say you think this is to throw a monkey wrench in the Belt and Road Initiative?
Mm-hmm. At least in terms of the Pakistan, you know, China-Pakistan corridor, part of the Belt and Road Initiative. Because this isn't the first time that this has happened. I think it was either a few months or a year ago or something. There was another terrorist attack that took place in Pakistan. And this time it was a bus terrorist attack when, 13 people were killed and 9 of them were Chinese. And they were Chinese engineers and scientists and project managers that were, going to work on a part of the Belt and Road project.
Right. And so, the Belt and Road, this massive infrastructure project, it's got lots of objectives. It's basically to tie China to a variety of markets around the world, where they're not subject to be choked off by the American or British navies. And so one of the routes would be going through Western China, through Xinjiang, through these mountain passes, because, it's mountainous. That Western China region gets pretty mountainous, but if you were to go through southern Xinjiang, so you're north of Tibet, going north of the Himalayas, going through some of these passages, you get into Pakistan, and Islamabad, the capital, is only a couple hundred miles or so from the Chinese border, and then you could just skirt in a southwest direction, and so you would be going south of the Afghan border, because there's a long border between Pakistan and Afghanistan, and it would take you to the Arabian Sea, which is basically an extension of the Indian Ocean. It would be a good way of the easiest way, really. It's the easiest route from China to the Indian Ocean. Currently, if they're going to the Indian Ocean, if you're going through like Shanghai or Hong Kong or these ports, you've got to go through the South China Sea, then you got to go through the Straits of Malacca, which are easily blockaded, and so that is an objective, is to be able to get to this would be a very good way for China to get to the Persian Gulf, for instance, so that's the significance of it. The timing. Do you think the timing has anything to do with Imran Khan a couple of weeks ago being deposed as prime minister?
Very possible. Because I think we talked about the new Pakistani government, how they're going to be more pro-Western than Imran Khan. So that's very possible that it could have been that timing. I'm not sure exactly what the new government of Pakistan looks like, but if it's more pro-Western, that's not good for both Pakistan and China. But it's not good for Pakistan either.
Yeah, there's the new prime minister is the younger brother of another prime minister. I want to call him Omar Sharif, but I think Omar Sharif was a British actor. The last name is Sharif, and you had this prime minister a while back named Sharif, and I believe he was pretty pro-American. Mm-hmm. All right. So we've got that. Have the Chinese foreign ministry, have they been saying anything about this?
Well, they basically said that they're going to, leave it up to the Pakistani authority. Not leave it up to the Pakistan. They're going to be on top of it, too, but they're going to work with the Pakistani authorities to try to, get to the bottom of this and try to bring out more of these insurgents, these terrorists, because I guess in my opinion, even though the new government of Pakistan might be more Western friendly, so to speak, I don't think that they're in favor of, you know, Baluchistan having their own, you know, self-determination. Well, not really. We know it's not self-determination. It's whatever the American Empire wants. But, you know, I don't think they're in favor of Baluchistan breaking off from them, too. So.
No. No, I mean, this is something that's been going on for a while. They've had. I don't follow it that closely, but there's been an independence movement for a while there. All right. How about we make a hard pivot over to America?
I just want to this real quick. You see the hypocrisy of the American Empire when it comes to supporting separatism or not. I mean, they're promoting separatism, you know, and obviously in Xinjiang and Baluchistan and, all these other places, you know. And then meanwhile in Ukraine, you know, the eastern provinces of Ukraine, which want to separate and become, you know, their own independent republics and more pro-Russian because the majority there is ethnic Russian, they say, oh, no, we have to crush them. We have to support these neo-Nazi terrorists, these ISIS, you know, these white ISIS terrorists, basically, against the ethnic Russian peoples. Just want to point that out.
Yeah, so if you had in international relations theory, there's a paradigm known as realism. And realism, you could say, kind of cynical. It's just whatever is good for us, it's justified, and might makes right. And if they were just being honest about it and saying, for whatever reason, it's in our national interest for Baluchistan to separate from Pakistan, but it's not in our national interest for the Donbass to separate from Ukraine. And they're just being honest. Of course, they don't care about the national interest. They care about their perception of Jewish interest, but they won't say it. They won't say, well, this is, you know, for our own selfish reasons, but that's the, you know, they won't even say that. They'll just say this is our democratic values. Everything is our democratic values, or it's human rights for people, human rights. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's just all, and then now, if you point that out now, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has gotten something in store for that. To point out anything about them, then they have a new Ministry of Truth set up.
Mm-hmm.
Where now they can really crack down on dissidents, even more so than they already are.
Yeah, right. I have one more thing to say about before we get to the Ministry of Truth. If you went back to 40 or 50 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago, but certainly 40 or 50 years ago, in the Republican Party in particular, that you had that kind of honesty. In the Nixon administration, under Henry Kissinger, it's like, well, okay, he might be a thug, he might be a dictator, but he's our guy. And that was good enough for a big hunk of the country. That was good enough for a big hunk of the country. In fact, I think that was the dominant way of thinking. There was a definition of national interest, which I wouldn't have agreed with anyway, but still, the Nixon administration would come out and say, well, this, you know, it's in our national interest to support the Shah of Iran. It's, you know, it doesn't matter that it's not, you know, it's a dictatorship or whatever. It's not in our national interest to support President Allende in Chile. It doesn't matter that he was elected. And, you know, there wasn't really a pretense of all this my values stuff. And with Jimmy Carter tried to make human rights into a national security factor. It was supposed to factor in human rights. And I guess that. And I think Jimmy Carter wasn't being evil in doing this. He was just maybe a bit naive. But that really it really took off, especially in the Democratic Party first, that, you know, we were supposed to spread democracy around the world. And before long, of course, you had the fall of the Berlin Wall. And in the 1980s and early 1990s, you had all these countries and, you know, East Asia, like the Philippines and South Korea, a lot of countries in South America all of a sudden holding more or less free elections. And so that got ingrained in people's way of thinking. And not just in liberals, but how often do you hear, I mean, like Republicans or Tucker or our own people saying, oh, well, President Yanukovych was democratically elected, which he was. He was democratically elected. Should it matter to us if he was democratically elected or not? Well, maybe, or maybe not. But the fact is, to most people now, that's important. And 40 or 50 years ago, people wouldn't have cared. And I'm not saying people should care or shouldn't care. I'm just pointing out that there has been this big shift in the way people look at things. And yet, has there really been a shift in the you know, the way the CIA or the State Department try to undermine countries? And no, I mean, they've always been cynical. They've always undermined countries if they think it's in. And nowadays, the American interest has just ceased to be a factor. It's whether it's in Jewish interest or not.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's just the CIA is always, you know, subverted entire nations and, you know, all their different secret programs and everything, which, you know, will be for another show.
Be for another show. But now we've got the Ministry of Truth.
The Ministry of...
What's going on with that?
Well, I mean, just this week, the Biden, or quote-unquote Biden administration, announced that they're going to set up this entire new agency within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security to, quote-unquote, counter disinformation and, you know, protect national security from disinformation and protect our democracy.
And I mean, some young girl who's, I'm not sure, she's got her name, what, Nina Jankowicz?
Yeah, it just gets more and more Orwellian.
She's, I don't know, early 30s, maybe 31, 32, something like that. Is she Jewish? Now, I saw, because this is obviously, you know, inquiring minds want to know. And when I was trying to investigate this, I did see from, what is it, the Jewish Chronicle of Central New Jersey, that she married somebody whose, I don't know, name was like something, Andrew Stein or something like that, something Stein, who had a very Jewish looking face. And it was in the, you know, the wedding announcement was in the Jewish Journal. So she's certainly married to a Jew. Is she Jewish herself? I kind of tend to think she is, but I don't have the proof yet. But she certainly is an agent of Jewish power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt an agent of Jewish power, if not directly Jewish herself. But either way, I guess the more important question would be, would it matter too much? Or, I mean, would it matter at all? Or would it... Whether they actually are Jewish versus, you know, their actual actions. Because Jewish power is there in the U.S. federal government, whether the person given the task, you know, implementation task is Jewish himself or not.
Yeah. I mean, another reason I guess that she is that she got the job at such a young age. And she got the job from a Jew, from Alexander Mayorkas. He appointed her, and it's just a tendency for Jews to boost the careers of young Jews. But anyway, we're at the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, so we're back. We're talking about Nina Jankowicz, the new Minister of Truth. You know, and it's the whole issue that somehow the government is going to referee truth, referee disinformation. What's disinformation? Who gets to say what information is? There's something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is from this, as Andrew Angman calls her, C-U-N-T, this shovel face. And this is what she says. She says, let's see here. She said, platforms and governments aren't doing enough. It's time to act. Our national security and democracy are at stake.
Yeah, it is weird. It's weird that they couch the abolition of fundamental liberties, like freedom of speech, in terms of preserving democracy.
Yeah, it's like now it's become, you know, freedom of speech is a threat to democracy. That's literally what they're saying, that freedom of speech is a threat to democracy. So, like, well, if democracy is this fragile, you know, very, what do you call, like, something that can't stand on its own two legs without being propped up?
Right.
You know, this almost you want, I guess you could say, paper tiger.
Right.
Or this
invalid.
And you said invalid?
Invalid, yeah, somebody too sick to stand up on his own.
Yeah, if it's so sick and needs all this protection, needs all this bubble wrap and layers of security and police state and enforcement to keep the thing together, then, you know, yeah. People got to ask what exactly is democracy.
Plus, you've got to repress the native people in order to preserve democracy.
Yeah.
You got to replace the people in order to preserve democracy.
Mm-hmm. And you know, people have talked about democracy in the past, just like, you know, what that great philosopher, what's his name, Ezra Pound, he said that democracy is defined as any country ruled by Jews. That's democracy.
Yeah. He said that's how it's defined in Europe, but he said that a long time ago, and it extends to North America, Australia, New Zealand now.
Yeah, and I'll say this, democracy is anything that the Jewish-controlled American Empire, the Judeo-American Empire, says is democracy.
It's working well for people. It's just not working well. The so-called democratic countries are completely the governments have a completely hostile relationship with their populations, or at least the majority populations. And you just look at, so we're on the verge of, or maybe we're past the verge of World War III, with Europe and America on one side and Russia and China on the other side. And so supposedly Europe and America are the democracies, and yet the governments of Russia and China have far more support from their populations and deliver they deliver far more effectively to their populations. There's a much better relationship between the Chinese and Russian governments with their people, it's a far more positive relationship than anything that exists in Western Europe or North America or Australia, where our governments seem to be at war with our people.
Yeah, and all the Western countries, especially China. Like, China has, over 90-some% approval rate from the people, close to 99%, I think, last time. And then Russia, especially now, is like 80-some%. Versus, in the West here, I mean, you'd be lucky if you can get 50%.
Yeah, and, and you can question, like, polling data or whatever, but even when you have, say, the Pew Research Institute, which does international polling, they come up with figures more certainly showing that there's far more support for the governments in China and Russia. And the thing is, in the United States, we're not used to having more than 50 or 60% of people ever agreeing on anything. So it seems fanciful that you would have so much unanimity in China. But the fact is that people, adults, anybody who's an adult, even a young adult, can remember their childhoods, and things are just better. Things are just getting better by any definition. And for people who are middle-aged and remember the 80s, for instance, or even the 90s, wow, there's such a difference. And so how would you not support a government, even if you don't like a lot of aspects of it, even if there's a lot of stuff you don't like about it, how could you not support it in general after having witnessed the dramatic transformation of your country from, more or less African levels of economic development? Not too different, really, to really first world. Mm-hmm. It's been an amazing transformation over the course of, say, a generation and a half. People know it can't be hidden. Hey, I talked to the break. We'll come back and I'll let you go.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So we're back. So why wouldn't people support the government of China? Why wouldn't the Chinese people support it?
Yeah, I mean, the number one priority that most Chinese people have is, you know, better quality of life and, you know, peace and stability and development. And all three of those have been met. Those criteria have been met. There's peace. China developed without firing a single shot. You know, there's stability, you know. Chinese, you know, families are very well off, and then there's, of course, you know, national development. The other day, I was watching a video of the poorest. You know which province in China officially is the poorest province in China?
Let's see. Who? I don't know. Inner Mongolia?
No, that would be Guizhou province in southwest China, like southern China. Between southeast and southwest China, Guizhou province.
So, like near Burma?
Yes, near the Southeast Asian border.
Okay.
And it's the reason why it's poor, because it's the only province in China that doesn't have any flat lands. It's all mountain. But the thing is, I mean, even there, so developed. The provincial capital of Guizhou is Guiyang. And I was just watching a video of, you know, the aerials and just the massive infrastructure projects there. I mean, it looks like a city from the future. It's just, you know, they have, you know, tall buildings and they're all lit up and they're highway infrastructure. I mean, this Guiyang is famous for their they have like an 11 roadway interchange on five different levels on their highway, on their transportation infrastructure. And it's absolutely amazing. I'll send you some pictures here, but it's this is the poorest province in China, and it's become so developed. So it's like how can a Chinese person in the 21st century not be proud of their nation, not be proud of people? Just, I mean, everything we've overcome from a Maoist, you know, hellhole to what it is today, a first world superpower, second largest economy in the world, you know, and really first largest in terms of, you know, real economy,
in terms of purchasing price parity, it's certainly surpassed the United States. Purchasing price parity means, like, you know, a haircut in America costs, $25. A haircut in China might cost $8. But, you know, it's the same haircut. Should the American haircut count three times as much towards GDP? And America's a service economy.
Exactly. And the best part, too, is, you know, we did it all on our own. We didn't do it by, you know, invading other countries, or we did it without a single shot fired at other countries. And we did it in record speed time. And we're not done yet. China's not done yet. Still developing, because there's always more work that can be done. So...
And, you know, if you look at the Belt and Road Initiative, for instance, and China does a lot of investment in other countries, and China is investing in other countries, not for altruistic reasons, but because it's useful to China. And there are going to be cases where a country gets in a debt situation with China or something like that. These types of things will happen. But what you're not getting is, like with the United States, what the United States has this history of is not just trying to make sure that the government's friendly to it, but trying to make sure that foreign governments are completely dominated by the United States. And back in the Cold War, that meant the United States would get bent out of shape if the country had too big of a public sector. No, everything has to be in the private sector. And of course, now the United States gets bent out of shape if Botswana isn't allowing gay sex, right? And this was a major victory for the Trump administration that Charlie Kirk famously tweeted out, boom! Wow, when is the Trump administration going to get credit? Gay sex has been legalized in Botswana.
And yeah, that's your conservative Republican Party for you.
And China, you know, you can say whatever you want about them. Maybe, you know, economically that they're not altruistic. Neither was the United States. But the thing about China is it's not trying to impose its own political or social system on other countries, which the United States always has done.
Mm-hmm.
China. Yeah, never shown any interest in that. Well, I shouldn't say never. I mean, maybe under Mao Zedong, but post Mao, China has never shown any interest in trying to impose its social structures or political structures on other countries.
Yeah, it was a very bizarre time under Mao Zedong. It's like, on one hand, yeah, he wanted the whole world to follow him, but at the same time, it's like he, you know, China was in no way, shape, or form able to do that. But now that they are, they're not doing that. They're just saying, let's just strictly talk business on a nation-to-nation level. And that's it. Where's the American empire? And then this is why it's an empire. This is what imperialism is. You want to impose your values as bizarre and destructive and degenerate as American empire values are. But they want to impose that on the whole world. They want to impose, you know, all the gay anal stuff on the whole world.
So... I usually don't go in for a lot of philosophy, but for reasons, I kind of revisited Michel Foucault, who's somebody I was never particularly interested in the first place. He was some, I always thought he was Jewish. Maybe he's not Jewish, but he was certainly gay. He was some French philosopher born in the mid-1920s, died in, I think in San Francisco from AIDS in 1984. But, you know, he was a big deal, and he had this idea of biopower, that modern governments, modern meaning, say, post, you know, from Napoleon on or something, post-French Revolution, that they have taken an interest in regulating sex in the broad sense, you know, sexual issues in the broad sense, marriage and things like that, with an eye towards regulating the population, making it go up, making it go down, having it be, you know, good labor, you know, fostering the labor requirements of modern capitalism and this and that. And the thing is, one thing that's changed in various government policies since the 1960s, you've had this idea of overpopulation, which, frankly, I think there is overpopulation. But the way it's played out under Jewish domination in Western countries is policies that suppress population, at least amongst the you know, the native white populations. Homosexuality is a big deal, because homosexuals are less, you know, lesbians have wombs and they can reproduce if they can get like sperm donors and whatnot, but trannies can't. And this tranny stuff, which nobody, like, transsexuals have existed for a long time. I remember there was a famous tennis player in the 1970s, some doctor, Rene Wade or something like that. Something, it was like a Robert Wade, and then he changed his name to Rene Wade or something like that. And so there was a tranny tennis player, and there was a tranny organ player. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a giant social phenomenon. There was just like a few stray people. But now it's being pushed so hard. And of course, the thing about homosexuality is you can come back from it. But there's no coming back. If you chop off your genitalia, there's no coming back from that. And so it's effectively a massive sterilization program. And to have the president of the United States be making big speeches about how important it is to affirm your trans kids' gender identity. If a president of the United States is making major addresses to the nation on it, it's a big deal.
Well, it's the most unnatural thing known to man. All this perverted, you know, degeneracy of being a homo and a queer and a fag and a tranny. And just, I mean, no other, you know, no natural, no normal person could look at that and then think that's normal. It's not. And, I mean, this you know, the fact that the United States federal government is pushing this on its population and on the rest of the world through, you know, wars and the military-industrial complex, you know, the U.S. military going over there to enforce trannyism. I mean, maybe not yet literally, but effectively. It just goes to show, I mean, the United States federal government is, you know, in my opinion, it's the most rogue, just disgusting, and yeah, I'll say satanic government that's ever existed. Because, I mean, even the Soviet Union, you know, under Stalin, I mean, you know, under Lenin, you know, Leninist Russia was very degenerate. They forced, you know, homos and all the degeneracy. But under Stalin, it was all cleaned up for the most part. And it's like, but this right here is just it's the most evil thing.
And you know, it was brought home to me a little bit earlier today. I just happened to stumble across. I was just going through an old phone book, and I see this name. It's like, oh, this person couldn't still be in the same place. And so it was like some kid. There's some kid I used to coach, and, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. And I guess when he got into high school, for whatever reason, At any rate, I come across his name, and I remember when he was in high school, he shot up. He was a chubby little kid, but then all of a sudden he got to be really tall, like 6'6 or something. So I think he must have moved on by now, and I do a search for him, an internet search, and I find, like, I see these pictures of him. He's like, you know, 6'6, 6'8, wearing a skimpy dress. He's a tranny out in California somewhere, head and shoulders above all these other people. And then, like, on his Facebook, he's talking about his gender dysphoria, and he's also talking about how awesome President Zelensky is, and then he's got all of these glam shots of Jill Biden and Kamala Harris.
just the worst of the worst.
Oh, it's so sad because, you know, he was a little goofy, a little awkward, but you know, he's a good kid, big kid. What the heck happened to him? And they're doing this to kids. They're just pushing this. You should be confused. You're confused, aren't you? Well, guess what? Everybody going through adolescence is confused. That's a little bit, but they're just victimizing these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the most evil thing on earth to be telling children that it's perfectly normal to you know, mutilate yourself and cut off your you-know-what and become what you're not and you know, mutate, basically. It's there's nothing more evil than this, in my opinion. And the United States federal government, as far as I'm aware, is the first government in the entire world that's you know, imposing this on their population and the whole world. And let me put it this way too: all the Western puppet governments, all the Western European governments, are all basically just puppets of the United States federal government.
Well, I mean, you see them. Yeah, I mean, the United States has dominated the so-called free world, right?
And
I mean, the push for World War III, we know where that's coming from. That's coming from the Jew crew at the State Department. That's clear. You've got, you know, it's not just the federal government. You've got these power structures outside the federal government in media, which is international, but largely in the United States. Academia, the same thing. You know, finance, the same thing. You got these power structures, and largely Jewish dominated. And, you know, I was talking to a boomer friend of mine recently, and I said, you know, Zelensky's a Jew. The State Department, number one, number two, number three are Jews. Alexander Mayorkas and Merrick Garland, these are Jews, and all these things that we talk about and we complain about with the black riots, with the COVID vaccinations, when you look who's behind it in the media, it's a bunch of Jews. And he said, you know, I had another friend who was telling me the same thing, that it's a bunch of Jews. He said, the problem is, when you say that, you sound like, you know, if you say that, you sound like a racist. And so here we are. We're in this situation where we have a choice. Okay, do we try to save ourselves from extinction, or do we try to maintain politeness? Is it more important for us to be polite or to survive?
Well, it's the thing that makes it so hard, I mean, is the fact that, you know, you could get fired, or you can lose your job for speaking the truth about
that.
And that's why it's so hard. Otherwise, you know, screw politeness. We got to save ourselves.
So the thing is, if he and I had this discussion in public, one or the other of us, you know, could lose our jobs. But it's so hard to have a discussion like this even in private.
Yeah, because you never know who's gonna, you know, turn on you or report you. I mean, there was
you never know.
Too, you know, one in three persons in East Germany was a snitch for the German, you know, German Soviet government, and it's no different here. In fact, it's even worse here, because I mean, over here it's more subtle. you don't see it as much.
What do you think are the odds that a 6'8" man with gender dysphoria who wears like skimpy black dresses and thinks Zelensky is awesome and has glamour shots of Kamala Harris on his/her/whatever Facebook profile? What's the odds that somebody like that would turn you in?
I'd say almost 100%. Yeah. No doubt.
Hey, that's part of it. But we're at the break. We'll be right back.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, we're back, and over the break, you sent me some pictures of Guiyang,
which is in Guizhou province, which I said earlier was the poorest province in China. And this was some pictures of the city.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks futuristic. We got this last picture. You've got a number of very tall buildings. One is a bank in like Donghua or Guangda.
No, the last picture is a waterfall.
Well, okay, so next to the last picture. Okay, the waterfall looks pretty good. But I mean, nature, you can have beautiful looking places beautiful nature in poor places, but this massive interchange, highway interchange, it looks like something out of a Dr. Seuss book.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like, you know, the old Blade Runner movie, how futuristic that is. I mean, it's that's kind of what looks like at nighttime. Just, you know, neon lights all over. No, not neon lights. What's the...
Yeah, nowadays it's not neon.
Neon colors.
LED. But, yeah, I mean, all these buildings. You sent me a lot of nighttime skyline type things, and they look beautiful. But even the daytime ones, you're seeing these very well manicured schoolyards and things like that. And, you know, from a distance, a lot of places, poor places, can look nice, but not like this. I've seen pictures of, like, Lagos, Nigeria, and if you're very careful with the angle you take it and the distance, Lagos can look okay, but it wouldn't look anything like this.
Especially the 11, that's an 11, it's 11 interchanges at all the overpass bridges. That's 11 interchanges with 5 levels. I mean, that's one of the biggest interchanges in the world. It makes the interchanges here in our major cities, you know, like in L.A. and Houston, look just pale in comparison.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the main thing is, I don't know, I think I went through this town on city on a train, because I went from Guangzhou to Chongqing, and I'm pretty sure the train line goes through there. But, you know, it goes through, I went through a lot of places, and what is striking is the difference, okay? So, I mean, you can look you might look at a picture of, you know, Dhaka, Bangladesh or somewhere, and you might be able to take a picture in a way that it looks pretty cool. But the fact of the matter is, I've been in all these Chinese cities 35 years ago, and they never looked anything like, they didn't look anything like this. There's no way they could. I mean, this is all new. And, you can go through American cities that have nice skylines that are reasonably, you know, poor. You go through Memphis or, what else? Jackson, Mississippi or something, or Birmingham, or, you know, certain places that are messy from a distance, they can look okay. But part of the reason they look okay from a distance is because when those buildings were built, the places were a lot better. And so you're mm-hmm. just kind of seeing the legacy of civilization in a lot of American skylines. You're just seeing legacy. This is new.
It was not maintained, and also because American cities, as we know, especially cities on the east, have been, you know, completely taken over by the blacks. So it's no surprise there. But, yeah, I mean, these pictures, I think they're worth showing the audience. You want to post them.
I will do my best. Eagle. Okay, but we're out of time.
Well, that went fast.
It sure did. How many buildings were built in China in the time that it took to do this show? It takes more than 45 minutes to build a building, but in that 45-minute sequence, probably some buildings were completed. But we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, and hopefully we'll make it another week.
I hope so. Oh, and by the way, we got Kevin McDonald scheduled for Wednesday and Tuesday night on Jeremy's show. So that's something to look forward to.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.